Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. In case you hadn't noticed, the inner wealth work is primarily about nature and its effect on us and nature deficit disorder, which is an illness many, many people are struggling with in corporate life, in business life and home life at the present time. By its broadest interpretation, nature deficit disorder is an atrophied awareness, like a diminished ability to find meaning in life. And that comes from loss of contact with the surroundings we have around us. And I mean that in whatever form it takes, not just a beach or a Himalayan mountain. This shrinkage of our lives has a direct impact on our physical, mental, and social health. As a species, a human species, we are most animated when our days and nights on Earth are touched by nature. We can find immeasurable joy in the birth of a child or a great work of art or falling in love, but all of life is rooted in nature, and separation from that wilder world desensitizes and diminishes our bodies and our spirits. Maybe you recall a time when you took more from the world. You just did it. You were new to the world, and as it's new, as a child, you just go out in the woods or in the forest and sit under a tree or play as if there were no tomorrow. It's not even a game. We just love watching ants and watching birds fly and watching the leaves flutter in the trees. Recent studies from all over the planet talk about the effect nature has on children and attention deficit disorder and autism and all sorts of things that we're diagnosing in kids as diseases. And a common factor is at work. And those kids who have plenty of experience outside the home, in the outside world, outside the electronic bubble, in an environment that demands the better use of your senses so you don't get bitten or tread on something or spiked, helps create an incredibly powerful happiness. And that happiness overrides any need for ADD and autism that is in a milder sense interrupting that person's life. And this study is global. In particular, it's being studied in Australia. One study said that even a child with perfect vision that has not spent much time outside lacked the ability that a combination of depth of perception and peripheral vision gives you when you're out in nature. In other words, if you're looking at the horizon a lot, and if you're looking at, and if you need to be aware of what's either side of you, you will see the perfect vision. You will see what's going on around you and have a different perspective on life than someone who's staring at something a couple of meters away that's moving all the time, such as a TV set. One study said the gamers, or people who play computer games, are focused on the screen rather than the whole of their surroundings. And this explanation is partly psychological. And Australian research at Deakin University says that it's cases of myopia, nearsightedness. And it's linked to children and young people spending less time outdoors, where eyes are conditioned to focus on longer distances, but more probably is about their vision, including hindsight, more accurate hearing, attuned sense of smell, a sense of where the body is in space. And all of these abilities could be operating simultaneously. In other words, it's just not the eyesight that causes people to get mental health challenges and ADD and eating disorders. It could be all the senses are not honed. by the environment, and therefore only one or two of the senses are being occupied by gaming, and the other senses are left random. So being outdoors in a natural environment, it has proven to be beneficial for the ability to learn, an enhanced capability to avoid danger, and perhaps the most important application of all is the measurement of defying ability to be more fully engaged in life. And that's an astonishing discovery. And these studies are available for everybody to download and read. So it's academically proven, therefore, that being outdoors makes you smarter. There's a guy, Robert Pyle, not Gomer Pyle, Robert Pyle, who coined the phrase, the extinction of experience. And what happens to a species that loses touch with its habitat? Our sensitivity to nature and our humanity and our humility to it are essential to our physical and spiritual survival. Yet our growing disconnection from nature dulls our senses and eventually blunts or even the sharpest sensory state. And therefore we become dull. Spending time in nature, particularly in the wilderness, in the bush, can pose physical dangers. But rejecting nature because of those risks and the discomforts of being in nature is a greater gamble. It flows into the workplace. Maggie Johnson, author of Distracted, The Erosion of Attention and the Coming of the Dark Age, reports that a distracted worker takes nearly half an hour to get back to continue a task after someone interrupted them. 28% of a typical worker's day is taken up by interruptions and recovery time. Constant electronic intrusions leave interrupted workers feeling frustrated, pressured and stressed, and less creative. We text more, communicate less. At the UCLA Center on Everyday Lives of Families, they've discovered that 21 researchers have been using the tools of ethnography, ecology, archaeology and primatology to videotape and study routines of 32 families in LA. The team found that a restless family members, and we don't need to go too far in describing what restlessness means, it's not healthy. They moved quickly. They gathered in the same room for only 16% of the time. They tended to grunt more and talk less. And those restless families spent very little time in nature. What they observed is that returning home at the end of the day to a family is one of the most delicate and important rituals of everyday life. And everywhere in the world, in all societies that are somehow connected to nature, there's some kind of greeting that people have when they reconvene at the end of a working day or at the end of a day. But in a restless family, none. It's a grunt. It's not even acknowledging or not even having a ritual of returning back to their home center. They call it electronic immersion. And, you know, it's like you walk in the front door and the first thing you want to do is turn the TV on or check your phone to see if you've got any emails or send a text to someone. And this obsession, without a force to balance it, creates what they call the hole in the boat. It drains our ability to pay attention, to think clearly, to be productive and creative. The best antidote to negative electronic information immersion will be an increase in the amount of natural information we receive. The more high tech we become, the more natural we need, the more nature we need. The more high tech we become, the more nature we need. Forest schools are popping up all over the world. Some don't even have any classrooms. And some just say the only classes we do indoors are those that require a computer. And the intelligence and the effectiveness and the academic performance of children at those schools far outseeds those with more money, more resources, and so-called, in technical terms, better teachers. The students who spend more time in outdoors have less emotional problems and have more balanced lives in the long term. This is called natural intelligence. Sharpness and awareness define natural intelligence. Natural intelligence is knowing the signs of nature. In other words, you look up and you see the wind blows, you see leaves rustling, you know the wind is blowing. That's called natural intelligence. And this natural intelligence flows into what we call the hyperintelligence. Like, I can see a kind of intelligence, for example, I can see a fish, I can see the birds. And we're all born with this ability to observe nature, and it can be triggered again. It's not hard, just it helps to know a little bit about what you're doing. But this knowledge becomes even deeper. Each time we step out on the deck of our balcony or of a house and we observe nature, you can feel the direction of the breeze. You can sense whether it's going to rain or not. You can feel the sun rising and you can feel the sun set. And you watch the plants, they point in one direction when it's wet and in another direction when it's dry. And all these observations are conversations that families can have to bring nature awareness into the lives of children. So the observation is that society looks everywhere but the natural world for the enhancement of intelligence. We're looking for a pill to pop to build brain performance. People take natural supplements to calm the nerves and calm the brain. Ginkgo biloba for increased blood flow to the brain, St. John's wort for depression, and so on and so on. And psychoactive substances and Panadol. And yet, time spent in nature can actually alleviate the need for most of those things. It's a new science, the study of the relationship between mental acuity, creativity, and time spent outdoors. And because of that, people are reluctant to invest in it. But we know that our senses and our sensibilities are improved through our direct interaction with nature, and therefore the practical knowledge of natural systems. And more natural environment seems to stimulate our ability to pay attention, to think clearly and be more creative. Even in a dense urban environment, being around trees can improve a person's life incredibly. The research that's been going on has positive implications for education, for business, and the daily lives of young and old people. The research that I've found suggests that direct as well as indirect contact with nature can help with recovery from mental fatigue and with the restoration of attention. In addition to supporting the theory that nature experience can improve psychological health, they also found that it helped to restore the brain's ability to process information. They followed participants in an outward bound program, like a wilderness outdoors, which took people on wild rides for a couple of weeks. During these treks, or afterwards, subjects reported experiencing some sense of peace and an ability to think more clearly. They also reported not only those that went on the joy rides and the exciting adventures, but those others who reported just being in nature without doing anything was more restorative than the physical challenging activities. So, very often we think we have to go out and bust our ass or produce adrenaline or do something really exciting in nature. And what the research is showing is not necessarily true. Actually, just being in nature is enough. At the University of Michigan, researchers demonstrated that participants' memory performance and attention span improved by about 20% just after 1 hour of interacting with nature. And according to the results published in Psychological Science in 2008, Mark Berman, a psychologist at the University of Michigan and lead author of the study, said, "People don't have to enjoy the walk to get the benefits. We found the same benefit when it was 80 degrees and a sunny over summer as when the temperature dropped to 25 degrees in January. The only difference was the participants enjoyed the walks more in the summer than in the dead of winter, but the results were the same." This is powerful research, and as I said, it's going on around the planet. There's also a study being done at the Human Environment Research Lab at the University of Illinois, where research discovered that children show a significant reduction in the symptoms of attention deficit disorder just from being in nature, just from being outdoors. And yet many of those children, because they have attention deficit disorder and because they struggle with that, want to do things that are indoors where they can control their environment. In other words, they make things worse by following their own solutions. They might want to, for example, they found kids wanted to work in workshops. They wanted to work on bikes and cars, but they wanted to spend more time working on the thing than with the thing. And the secret they found in this study at the University of Illinois was to get the kids outside away from the thing so that they actually experienced and were immersed in nature. And that markedly changed their symptoms of ADD. I mentioned before that Deakin University in Geelong is a leading university in the study of the health, happiness, and parks and people. And their study is, city life is dominated by mechanical time, punctuality, deadlines, and yet our bodies and our minds are dominated by biological time. We know that the conflict between biological and mechanical time, for example, jet lag, can really lead to irritability, restlessness, depression, insomnia, tension, and headaches. In addition, the experience of nature in neurological sense can help strengthen the activities of the right hemisphere of the brain and restore harmony to the functions of the brain. Now, this is a massively expensive study and from Deakin University. This is perhaps a technical explanation of the process that occurs when people clear their head by going for a walk in the park. Furthermore, in the act of contemplating nature, researchers have found that the brain is relieved of excess circulation or activity, and the nervous system calms down significantly without having to do a thing. Just to finish this off and get back to the laws of nature and what have you. Evolution may or may not be in our hands or out of our hands. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But as individuals, we can accept and celebrate all of our technological skills. But at the same time, we seek the gifts of nature, essential for the realization of our full intellectual and spiritual potential. And I think that sums it up beautifully.